Well, hello, all of you out there. Welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Yes, it's still me. I know the voice sounds a little gravelly, a victim of all that's going on in the air out there. But I never go on the disabled list, as you know, as you listen to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. As I thought this morning, you going to be able to do this, Michael? I thought, yes, because I have some big talkers on the show today.
I'm 5'3".
That's right. But she talks a lot. She really does.
Oh, so mighty.
Beth Bird is with us from Beth Bird Productions Physical Theater. She is with us. She wears many hats, of course. Today's hat is rainbow-colored gestured hat.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And she's going to tell us about all that's going on with clowns, clowning.
Physical theater,
fringe festival stuff, right. Classes, all of that. And she brought along with us a new friend, Patrick Ripetu.
Yes, sir. Hello, hello.
And you're going to add to all this?
Yeah, I'll be adding some information and insight into our big fringe production that we're putting on this year, The Treasure of the Golden Monkey King. As far as I know, one of the first true traditional productions of Commedia dell'arte Kansas City has ever seen.
So, word of advice. Talk, speak up, talk. Okay. It'll be hard for you to get a word in otherwise.
All right, all right, I got this.
Yeah, strong elbows, it's good.
For all of that. Beth's been with us many, many, many times. And she has evolved in what she does over the years. Now she's mostly concentrating on the clown aspect of things.
Somewhat. I've built that up for the last several years. We have several clown classes going on at City of Motion, levels 1 and 2, working on a level 3. And thanks to that, because of that hard work, we've been able to, I'd like to say, attract Audrey Crabtree back to Kansas City. She's a native of Kansas City. She went to New York and founded the New York Clown Festival, but she's back. We don't know how long she's going to be back, but we snagged her for most of the summer and the fall, we hope. And skipping it way ahead, she's going to be part of the Physical Theater Festival October 24th through the 29th at the Just Off Broadway Theater. We're working on details for that, so I don't have those ready at the moment. But, so there's a lot going on in the clown realm, but I'm still firmly based in physical theater, mime, and all of that, which is why I wanted to help create the Comedia Kansas City Company, because it is a true form of physical theater, and Patrick went to Italy to study, so tell him about that.
Yeah, so in 2012, I decided, after getting my degree from UMKC and falling in love with Comedia dell'arte just from watching some of the productions they did there that were inspired by this style of theater, so I kind of hunted around looking for different outlets to go and find a focus in Comedia dell'arte. I looked at dell'arte in Blue Lake, California, and then upon my research, I stumbled upon the International School for Comedia dell'arte and the Comic Actor, which is based out of Reggio Emilia, Italy, and it's ran by Antonio Fava, who is one of the foremost experts on the living tradition of Commedia dell'arte. He's been studying his whole life. His father was a performer in the style, and he's a performer, and his son's probably going to be a performer in the style. So I hopped over the Atlantic Ocean, and I put my nose to the ground and started learning.
Yeah, tell us about dell'arte. It has a long tradition. Some of the characters you'll see in fiction are actually attached to that in different ways.
Exactly. It is probably one of the more influential styles of comedy that you see it today, like you said. Sort of a brief primer, Commedia dell'arte started in north central Italy, probably somewhere around Padua in the 1550s, somewhere in that era. And it was largely just some roving bands of professional theater actors. And it really was the first truly professional art form as far as acting and stage performance. Before that, you had people who were doing this with, like, the church, or they were doing it as sort of amateur actors or academic acting. But Commedia dell'arte troupes were out there to make money. Mm-hmm. And they did this with the cast of characters that they have that are sort of stereotypes. So you have, like, some classic ones. You like what Beth is playing in our show that we're doing in Fringe. She's playing the Arlecchino type. Sort of the...
Shock.
Yeah, right. She's playing the mischievous, impish...
What?
Sort of flighty servant character.
Yes, yeah, so in other words, she just does her...
Yeah, I just put a mask on her and put her on stage.
I get beaten up a little.
And then you have other characters like the greedy, miserly old man in Pantalone. You have the big, tough braggart who is actually at heart a cowardly lion. You have the know-it-all doctor who really knows nothing. And then you have the lovers, the two very... angsty teenage idealists.
Right.
That the sword, the crutch of a lot of these stories kind of revolve around.
And that will be part of your presentation at the Fringe coming up in July.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right. Yeah, we have six performances. We have so many performances because it's a fundraiser for KKFI.
Well, that makes it even better.
It does. 20% of the tickets go directly to KKFI. So I would just like to mention here that one of the ways we're ensuring that the ticket sales don't cover anything other than 20% going to KKFI and then the rest going to the actors, we're doing a Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. We're going to launch that on our Facebook page later today or tomorrow. We're working on the video with Thad Parnell and Steve. And so we're working on that video.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get all of this up and running.
Today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow at the latest.
Because this is so important, it's not up yet, but where on Facebook will they go to find it so they can, because Kickstarter involves you and the audience getting involved.
Right. So there will be links on either the Beth Bird, well, the Bird Productions,
yeah.
Bird Productions
Thank
Facebook
you.
Page,
yes,
and also on the Comedia Kansas City Facebook page as well.
Right. And we're building up that Facebook page, so I do want to mention one more time, Comedia Kansas City, because we really are working to build that, create a company. So there is a little bit of pressure because we're creating a company. It's a fundraiser for KKFI. We also are getting another reason why we're doing the Kickstarter is because we're getting masks made for us by Josh Christ. No Comedia company exists without their own masks. We have to own your own stock character masks. And you forgot to mention Brighella.
Yes, that's one of the characters that I'm playing in the show right now. Is sort of the higher ranking servant,
right.
Sort of the manager of a restaurant underneath a general manager type.
Right, the one who gets to kick around Arlecchino. How'd that happen? Anyway, so but yeah, we're getting masks made.
Yeah, Josh Christ. He's a graduate of UMKC's state or set design program, master's mm-hmm. student there. And he has studied with a really great mask maker out of Oregon named Tony Fumuller, who's done a lot of work, especially with the Del Arte School in Blue Lake. And Josh is very generous in lending us his services and helping this company get started. We are his first actual commission.
Right.
So we're helping him help us help him and
right.
get both of us sort of established as creators.
Are the masks of the classic characters, or does it involve your own personality?
For this one, we're sticking pretty close to the classic.
He has a mask that he
yeah.
is holding up. Hold it real close to the microphone.
Yeah, really,
and,
yeah.
and you folks get your eyes real close to the speaker.
Yes, I'm sure you can hear the intricate lines and bumps on the
I like the new nose.
Yeah.
It's kind of a...
Arlecchino.
It's sort of a W.C. Fields style nose.
Yeah.
That's the way I would describe it.
Sort of a short-nosed, wide, curious eyes, and sort of a mischievous little cheeks going on.
And this character is mischievous?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very. Lots of shenanigans happen with Arlecchino.
Do you perform always with the mask on?
With Comedia dell'Arte, most of the characters are going to have masks, but there are also unmasked characters like the lovers. But if there's anyone out there who's done any sort of physical theater research, you know the idea of the mask is much more than just the physical thing you put on your face.
Uh-huh.
It's the full embodiment of this character head to toe and mm-hmm. in and out.
Mm-hmm. That's true in a lot of art forms. Once you put on the costume or the mask, you become the character. Does it make it a little easier?
I think it does. I
do too.
Yeah, playing these stock characters, when you step into them, they already have their personalities well established. They have their sets of gestures well established. But within this nice little box that you have, there's so many different possibilities. It's almost limitless what you can do with these tools that this mask will give you.
Sure. Now, do we have dates, firm dates and
yes,
places for the fringe?
Yes.
Your fringe performances?
Yes. The location. Do you want to do it?
Yeah. So our fringe show will be at the Jerome Stage at the Unicorn Theater.
The chair. No. I was asked not to say that. The Jerome Stage.
Yes. What? Don't say it.
I always said the chair.
So, we have six performances. We have two on Saturday, July 23rd at 3 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. We have another one Sunday the 24th at 3 p.m., Wednesday the 27th at 6 p.m., Thursday the 28th at 9, and Saturday the 30th at 7:30 will be our last performance.
Yeah, maybe you'll get picked for one of the ones to come back.
Hopefully we'll get the hangover for the Jerome.
That's right.
And if anybody's out there, your support coming out and seeing our show will help us possibly get that hangover.
Okay, exactly. Let's go through it again. First, there's a Kickstarter to help finance the thing.
Yes, and that will be on our the Bird Productions Physical Theater Facebook page, as well as the Comedia Kansas City Facebook page. And then after that, we do performances. And then the performances, and then after that, the workshop.
Yeah, so
we have a workshop.
What Bird Productions is doing is they're hosting a couple of workshops to go along with the Fringe Festival and the physical theater shows that she is producing for this year.
Like we do every year.
Every year, yes. And what I'm going to be doing is what I've been doing for a while with other various schools and with City in Motion. I've taught a workshop that's a basic introduction to Commedia dell'arte. You can come in with me and you'll be able to learn these characters, these masks, learn the basic gesture, and just sort of get a good feeler for the art form.
Right.
And it's I encourage anyone to come out and do it. If you're a professional actor in Kansas City and you want to learn some new tools to take home with you, or if you're just someone who's a theater enthusiast who wants to kind of get your feet on the stage a little bit and play around and have some fun.
Okay, people undoubtedly are listening, thinking about this, and they're probably thinking to themselves, how is learning this style of comedia different from other kinds of acting I might have done?
Well, like I was saying earlier, with the sort of the box of tools that you're given, it's an improvised style of theater. So by that I mean the show is sort of outlined, and then in the rehearsal space, all of your actors and your director together collaboratively fill in the story, write the action, write the dialogue. Through improvisation, we come up with crazy physical gags and acrobatics that we can try to pull off. And then once we have everything we're happy with, we rehearse it, and we present it.
So the writing happens in the improv. And a lot of actors could utilize that, you know, how to get in character and create from character. And also because it's such a classic form that so much theater is based on, you're like, oh, that was totally useful. I'm more of an impish character this time, or I'm more of a miserly character this time. It's the extreme of those archetypes, and then you can distill it down to more contemporary, I should say down, but distill it to focus it on whatever form you're currently working in, but it's totally usable.
Right, like if you're going to be an actor who's going to, say, a Shakespearean comedy, this will automatically help you out, because a lot of Shakespearean comedy was inspired by, if not, this could be a little controversial, stolen from the Commedia dell'arte.
Like that never happened.
Never happened.
I don't know. And also, like, you look at people going into sitcom acting. The modern sitcom is essentially the current form of Commedia dell'arte, where you have these set characters that are thrown into situations, and you pretty much know how each character is going to act in whatever given situation they're kind of dropped into.
Sure, and people have to understand they, when they think of clown, they think of the happy, frivolous clown. But there are other kinds of clowns. There are sad clowns. There are a big variety of clowns.
There's a gambit and a hierarchy of clowns that most people couldn't even imagine.
And when it comes to clowning, it's not that they're happy. It's that they're funny. And so, you know, being happy all the time isn't funny. Tragedy is funny. We make tragedy funny.
Yeah, so well, if you're in the right mindset, yes, tragedy can be funny.
Yeah.
So usually when you're past the problem.
It's all, plus time, you know, adding time.
So with all of that, like it's a good kind of thing just to at least get exposed to with Commedia dell'arte, and with Bird Productions, we will be doing this workshop on Sunday, July 31st after the Fringe Festival from 10 o'clock to noon at the Just Off Broadway Theater.
Yeah, and it's a great space to have a workshop, and it has great dance floor.
Nice and springy.
That is a nice room.
Yeah. Anyway, there's two workshops. We have a workshop also with Kirsten Stevens and her company. So because Bird Productions focuses on physical theater, what we do is we work with the Fringe, find out other types of physical theater coming to Kansas City through the Fringe. We often partner with them. I just happen to know Kirsten Stevens really well. I've hosted her before. She might be staying at my house this time. I don't know.
Good for her.
Yeah, yay us. And so they are coming into town with a show and a workshop, and their workshop is the Saturday, July 30th from noon to 12 at the Just Off Broadway Theater. You can get tickets to both of these events off of the Bird Productions Physical Theater page. Go to the events page. You can see the show, the Commedia show, and the two workshops. Kirsten has her show elsewhere on Facebook, but you can still find all of this at kcfringe.org. If you just want to go to one place, look for workshops, look for shows, kcfringe.org for the information. But the workshops, you can find more specific information on the Bird Productions Physical Theater page on Facebook. And there's brown paper ticket links to reserve your spot in the workshops.
How experienced should they be to take advantage of Kirsten's?
Not at all. Not at all. Seriously, just go in, be dressed for movement, no jeans, nothing in your pockets, no belts, but wear some pants. And you know, take off your shoes, it's this dance floor, and be prepared to move. Bring water, some snacks, because you'll move.
Both of these workshops will be quite the workout.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot going on. Is there anything I'm missing here? We have our Kickstarter. We have performances at the Fringe Festival. We have workshops after the festival. One in October, you told me earlier.
Oh, that's down the road. That is a physical theater festival. There's going to be a lot of workshops, a lot of different shows, cabaret nights of local performers of physical theater. Bringing some people in from out of town. I'm talking to Hillary Chaplin, Audrey Crabtree, and then from that point, a lot of us. Mm-hmm. Comedia will probably be part of it.
Yeah.
The Flock will probably be part of it. Some Margolis Brown physical theater work might be in it. There's other local artists. Matter of fact, if you're a local artist and consider yourself to be a physical theater artist, contact me directly on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page, Bird Productions Physical Theater Fest, or me, Beth Birdlonsky, on Facebook. Private message me, and let's get in contact, because I'm going to be putting information out here soon, applications out soon. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
so they'll have to apply for this.
Yes.
All of that. So, but not much experience, or in that, I guess in that case,
oh, for that case, lots of experience will be necessary for that to be in it.
But sounds like you have a lot going on. Anything more you want to work? Do you still do the nights at the Arts Bar?
Yes, we do Clownesque twice a year, and right now we're looking at September 20th. We might be so big at this point to like last time we outstretched it time-wise and space-wise, and we were talking with the wonderful Jeanette Powers, who manages that space, and a few other locations. Nothing's wrong with the Uptown Arts Bar. It's a great location, and we dearly love them, and they've been wonderful, just wonderful, but we might have outgrown them, and so but it'll still be the same time frame in September, and it's a combination of the clown classes and the burlesque classes at City in Motion, and that's why it's called Clownesque. It's perfectly beautiful people trying to be funny, and they succeed, by the way. They're really great. Or clowns trying to be sexy, and we fail, and that's, you know, totally.
Oh,
and
I don't know. I thought that clown burlesque was pretty entertaining.
I have done the clown strip. It's not pretty.
But it's entertaining.
It's definitely entertaining.
And that's the idea.
Entertaining. And it's a fundraiser to keep the classes going, to pay the teachers consistently, because classes don't always pay.
What about the French things?
Oh, and the French cabaret, we'll probably do, speaking of French cabaret, that's how, one of the ways that I knew that Patrick was so good to work with, because when he came back from Italy, he was one of the people we had a similar language. We could, physically, if you know, you're like, hey, we moved this way, bada bing, bada boom, okay, we just wrote something. We got up on our feet and wrote some physical theater. So we did the French cabaret at the Nelson Atkins Museum a couple of years ago, to two packed houses, and had a great time, and it was for their big annual Thanksgiving show in the auditorium for the French Impressionist exhibit that they had, and we got to work with Belleville Trio, and they're wonderful. Cynthia Van Roden, Rick Moreski, John Miles, they're still in town, they're still performing, so if you want to check them out, try to find Cynthia Van Roden on Facebook, because they do still perform quite a bit. So, yeah, check them out. And, and we still work together once in a while doing French cabaret stuff. We'll probably do something in the Physical Theater Festival, by the way.
Probably, yes. I was assuming so.
Yeah. So
French cabaret, I suppose. But you were taught in the Italian style. Any difference?
There's a little bit, but a lot of the idea of creating a character that has, you know, a certain tics, gestures, and things like that really can be applied to anything. So if I'm doing a French style, like a French style clown, it's too far disconnected from their older cousins from the Italian peninsula.
Exactly.
Well, the French have a different sense of humor than we do. We know this. So does this translate into the kind of material and things you would pick to do?
Yeah, a little bit, yes. I will say our humor is, while French on the outside, still inherently us on the inside.
Right. I use the term Frenchify. Now, can we rehearse? Let's Frenchify this. Run it through the French filter, whatever that is.
Which makes it, I guess, a little more sarcastic.
What?
No, not at all.
Not at all. What are you talking about?
Okay, so, let's review, you have more you want to add.
I do want to mention, we are doing this through the Fringe Festival. I just want to make sure people know to go to kcfringe.org, and that goes from July 21st through the 31st. We're just a small part of this huge festival, and I had the elevator speech down, but it's like around 400 performances, around 120 venues. The numbers are huge. So you need to go to kcfringe.org. And the one thing I want to make sure you know is that you need to get a button, because that is your passport into the whole festival. So once you get the button, then you can go in anywhere and get a ticket, but that's your pass. And a lot of people don't realize they have to have the button to get into the shows, but that's how the Fringe Festival pays for a lot of things, is through the finances of the button.
Okay, let's get some order now, so people are making notes and they say, well, when is that? Okay. Anything before the Kickstarter campaign?
No. That's the next thing.
Okay, that's the next thing. Yeah. Quickly, again, the details on how they get involved in this.
Yeah, so to participate in the Kickstarter for our Fringe Festival show, just go to the Bird Productions Facebook page or the Comedia Kansas City Facebook page, and we'll be sharing links to that daily, not multiple times throughout the day.
We'll try not to kill you with it, but yeah.
And all that leads up to, of course, performances at the Fringe, which will be at the Jerome Theater.
Correct, it'll be at the Jerome Theater on July 23rd, 24th, 27th, 28th, and the 30th.
Right. Okay. And be sure you do not contact the theater directly for information. They won't have it. The Fringe Festival will have it. All right, so be sure you keep that in mind. You'll know the location, but go to the kcfringe.org website to get your tickets.
Because there's two theaters in the Unicorn. There's the Jerome and then the regular stage for the Unicorn.
Exactly.
Then they'll probably have a show of some kind on that other stage as well.
Exactly.
Oh, they'll have many shows on that stage as well.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
I'm sure they will. Okay. Yes. Also, then, after these performances, are in conjunction with workshops.
Correct. And I'll be doing an introduction to Commedia dell'arte on Sunday, July 31st from 10 o'clock until noon at the Just Off Broadway Theater. And for information about that, go to the Commedia Kansas City Facebook page or the Bird Productions Facebook and website.
And yes, we'll should have it on the website soon. All right. And then also what Bird Productions is collaborating with the Kinetic Fusion company to bring in a devising theater workshop using physical and collaborative skills in ensemble-based theater. That course will take you through aspects of mime, collaboration, and compositional work to culminate in staging a short original piece and bringing ideas to life in the setting of ensemble-based collaboration. You'll find that on the Bird Productions Physical Theater Facebook page. We also have a way to get tickets there through Brown Paper Tickets. And then the show that Kinetic Fusion is bringing, Kinetic Fusion's first appearance in Kansas City Fringe, is Rumors of Shadows. It's a comic horror that deals with the effect of a pervasive fear on people's behavior. And so it's funny. It's going to be very twisted. And they're doing a combination of opera, dance, puppetry, mime. They're bringing all of that, their combined skills of a company of four to make this show work. And their shows, they don't have, I'm sorry, I'm looking at their information, but they did not list where it's happening. But I happen to know it's on the city stage in Union Station.
In Union Station.
Yes. And you go to kcfringe.org to get tickets for any of the shows. You can go to Bird Productions Physical Theater to get tickets for any of the workshops.
Okay. And if you want any of this information, we can't repeat it all now because of time, but then you can go on the Facebook, on the Beth Productions website.
Bird. I know. BYRD. BYRD, by the way. BYRD Productions.
Yeah, just like the Admiral.
That's right.
She's related.
And we are related. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So go to Facebook and then go to
Bird Productions Physical Theater.
Okay. Website as well. Do you have a website, Pat?
Not yet. Okay. Right now, Comedic Kansas City is just rocking on the Facebook.
Comedic Kansas City. Along with, in conjunction with Bird Productions, and all of these events taking place in conjunction with the Fringe Festival and other things, and Beth will have workshops and things
exactly.
Beyond all of that.
Yes, we produce workshops so often that if you want to be in on that, make sure you follow Bird Productions Physical Theater on Facebook to get the notifications of workshops, because they happen so quickly. And I also want to mention that this is all the show is a fundraiser for KKFI 90.1 FM, your local community radio station.
That's right. We're here.
And we're very supportive, and we're very glad that how that happened was we got the call from Bill Claus, because for the first time in a long time, he was not able to do this year's show. He's going to be gallivanting around the planet. He won't even be in town. He's retired. He is so retired. God bless him.
He's causing more problems retired than when he actually worked here.
That's why he retired.
That's right. Probably true in history. Thanks so much, both of you, for being here. Beth Bird of Bird Productions Physical Theater and Patrick Ripetu.
Yes, sir.
He is with us as well. He's starting Kansas City.
Comedia Kansas City.
Okay. Yes, that's right. So we'll probably be hearing from you more in the future as well.
I hope so.
Thanks so much for being with us. Check at Facebook at Bird Productions.
That's right.
Facebook.com/Bird Productions.
.org. If you go to the website, it's .org. If you go to Facebook, it's just Facebook. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for being here. We're going to take a break. I'm going to rest my vocal cords, but of course they talk much more than I did. We'll see what happens during the next interview when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Yes, it's still me. Yep, just trying to keep the voice going. Only got to do it for about another 26 minutes, and then I can take a nice rest. But unfortunately, as I said earlier, I have a lot of big talkers on the show today. Beth Bird and Patrick, they always talk really well. So does one of the ladies in this segment of the show as well. Nancy Effort is with us once again. Director, actress, costume person, other things. Lots of other things.
Other things. I like the other things part.
At least everybody's imagination.
It covers a lot of territory. It really does. She is in. Well, she has two of her performers here with us. Hannah Eppert is with us. Once again, you've been here once before.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I don't remember which show, though.
I think it was Frontiers. Last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if it was something else, we'll uncover that in the course of the show. And Stephanie Flanagan is with us once again. Been here before, was it the swim club?
Yeah, it was for swim club.
Yeah, well, directed by Nancy Effert.
Yeah.
So Nancy has her own. Nancy has her own stable of stars here. But they are doing a show out in Independence in conjunction with, I should let you explain it. You're probably better with the words than me.
This is in conjunction with the First Person Interpreters Program, which is from
the City of Independence Department of Tourism through the National Frontier Trails Museum. And the Interpreters Program, we portray different characters this season of the era of independence, 1849, and we're getting ready to start the next phase of that program. But each phase of this four-year program has a live theater production in the summer. This year, as we did last year, we are doing the production of Frontiers, which is a story of women and stories of women. We portray, five actresses portray over 30 women that were actual citizens of Independence, Missouri and Kansas. And this was actually written by four authors that looked through diaries and journals and books of things that these women survived, lived through, triumphed, and we get to portray those women, and we get to portray the voice of women of the middle to late 1800s.
When you visit the museum, you'll see letters, notes that people wrote along the way on the trail, and it kind of tells their story. This, I guess, was expanded into a play covering some of those stories.
Actually, this is from a collection that was discovered in the women's history from the state of Kansas. And when the four women, my mentor, Kathleen Gaffney, who I worked with in Slidell, Louisiana, in the 1980s, actually. I'm only 12 years old, so that's, I was a child. But she brought this project as a premiere to the South. It had also had a staging premiere in Los Angeles just prior to coming to Louisiana, and she was there with an arts and education program. And I was cast in that production and immediately fell the great love for this, as well as just the opportunity to give voice to some persons that did not really have a national voice at that time, because there are, as you were mentioning, there's wonderful placards in the Trails Museum about voices of the persons that did travel on the Santa Fe and the California and the Oregon trails out of independence. This is a way for we five ladies to allow us to take on and allow their spirits to live through us for a period of time, so that we can share with our audience this wonderful journey.
Yeah, some of them were good experiences, some of them weren't so good. And
exactly. It's just, it really brings back that people really have not changed. It's the world that just kind of keeps reinventing itself and circumstances around us, but the struggles of living alone, traveling from places you don't know. We talk about arranged marriages. We talk about women taking on not the luxuries of a regular stick and brick house, but to live in the mud, if you will. They were digging dugouts, living in the dugouts. We have women that just all of a sudden, I actually allude to that from one of the characters that Stephanie plays, and then one that Hannah plays, is that two young girls just walking back to the campsite, and one, her sister gets injured and dies, and they go on. They just leave her and go on, and the body, of course, and it's just all these trials and, of course, triumphs.
Just think, folks, if you would, it's not like taking a 2-week trip out to California. If you went on that, you were probably going for the rest of your life, and you knew that. And you probably wouldn't. You could return, maybe, eventually. But the likelihood is that you'd be gone forever.
Exactly. The Santa Fe Trail was an international highway, if you will, of merchandising. But the Oregon and California trails were expanding. They were experiencing and living the manifest destiny. They were going to west. They were going to the west to live and never come back. And it's exciting to these women that we portray were those pioneers. They were traveling for land, for freedom, for experience, for expansion, just living.
No, it was controversial, I know. Horace Greeley is credited with the term, go west, young man. But in reality, he didn't believe that. He thought it was foolish of them, and he didn't think most of the people would make it. He thought they'd die or turn back all along the trail.
I guess that's why you have to be really careful whose philosophies you want to tag on to.
He was credited with the term, go west, young man, but actually he just as I understand it, reprinted something someone else wrote and was being sarcastic about it.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just, again, be careful what you read, what you believe.
Well, let's get into some of these stories. They're very interesting. Hannah and Stephanie are with us. And Nancy, I guess, is in the show as
I
well.
Am.
Tell us about some of the... Well, tell us about one or two of the characters that you play, Hannah.
Okay. First off, I think one of my favorite ones is a 9-year-old little girl who is blessed enough to have her family right there on the plains and unfortunately is witness to a hanging. And because it is such a new, strange place, new environment, never seen this before, never has no clue, so innocent, it becomes this macabre scene of play between these three sisters and this hanged man. And like I said, I portray a 9-year-old little girl, which I've based the character around my nephew. So that's a very fun one. I also am grateful enough to portray Sarah White, who was captive here in the Midwest by Indians. And it tells her story and her struggle of being captive and held captive and then rescued by the cavalry. And again, she ended up living out her life in Kansas, near where she was actually captured and then discovered.
Yeah, after being captured,
yeah.
Of course. And what about Stephanie? You have how many different roles? Do you know?
Seven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My favorite, I believe, is Tree Woman. And she is a tree. She is basically Mother Earth. And just having contact with these travelers that have come across the plains, and it's the first time they've seen a tree in months, years, and it's just very moving to have that connection to the earth, to the people, and just watching that journey that they've gone on, and their sorrow, their happiness, their joy, everything. Another character I play is Mrs. Duncan, and she has 8 children. But one of her daughter, Tessie, has been stricken and basically lost her mind. And, you know, I still have 7 healthy hands, you know, healthy mm-hmm. children to help with the harvest. And she just kind of brushes Tessie aside. That's her golden girl. But at the same time, they have to move forward. They have to survive. And it's very gripping. It's very touching to go on these journeys with these women and be a part of that and hold, you know, keep their stories alive.
Yeah. Nancy has characters she plays as well.
I do. Actually, I tried to... I'm reprising the role that one of the roles I originally had in the original production of the mother of the... one that Hannah alluded to was... witness, and she's of course a transplant from the east to the area that she's living now and cannot get used to the mob justice, if you will. That's kind of an oxymoron, but one of the ones that I only play really 4 characters, which is fine. Again, one of them that when I was just looking over the parts and deciding what stories I wanted to tell. Because these women, if you think about their lives, really did not have female mentors. They had to create things as they went along, and just by intuition and what they learned about each other and that community of womanness, if you will, not to discount our men in our lives, but they had to literally survive a lot of times alone. And one of them, and it was when we were doing the very first read last year, because this is a repeat for the season, is my own daughter, Hannah, obviously the same last name. But as we were living there, she looked at me and says, "Mom, really? Oh, no, I can't do this." And one of them, what the story basically is that the mother is dying from complications from childbirth and then giving that baby over to her daughter to take care of and to raise and to go on. And it's very difficult at times because, and all of us, we have these interactions with one another. We have monologues, but we have interactions, and it's very challenging as actors to be portraying these women. I always say, let them have your skin. Let them take your skin. and to look in each other's eyes and to be able to feel of their spirit with us. And during that one particular scene, we do see the representation of our spirit kindred dad taking and on in the journeys that we take from not only this earth life but to continuing on. And so that's one of them that's always an interesting challenge for us. We also have breaking from that wonderful somber mood, we have some wonderful musicians, period musicians, that give us a lot of embellishment and essence. The Gum Springs Serenaders are our music portion, and they lend so much to this because they do period music with period instruments and costuming as well. So it's a huge endeavor from the National Frontier Trails Museum campus.
Talk and about those instruments, especially the jawbone.
Oh, the jawbone. Yeah. It's interesting because one of the musicians, the percussionist, if you will, he plays a jawbone.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's not an actual animal jawbone. More authentic, but it's a reproduction, and that was an instrument that he uses for a multiple of not only rhythmic sounds but also sound effects that we have in the show. And so that's kind of fun. And we have he also plays tambourine, and it's not your typical tambourine with the I don't know what those little metal thingies are called, but they
many symbols, I believe.
I'm sorry?
I think they're symbols.
Little symbols on the tambourine. And thank you. And but it's just a big, like a drum, actually. And then we have a fiddle player, Jamie Logan, and then we have a wonderful banjo player as well, Carl Anderton. And it's very exciting that with Edward making sound effects, because we have one scene where a plague of locusts come through. And how do you imitate locusts without locusts?
I doubt that they're going to bring them to the museum.
We really hope not. Which is exciting this year, too, because the publicity went out early on, thanks for the Department of Tourism in the City of Independence, that it had been an outdoor production. Last year, we were able to do the outdoor production with the backdrop of the Chicago Alton Depot, train depot, on the Trails campus. But because of our wonderful summer weather and our favorite weather
prognosticators.
Thank you, Michael. That's why you're on that side of the microphone. Our summer is not going to be pleasant for our audience. And so we decided only a week ago to bring the production into the actual theater space in the museum. So we've made some changes, and everything's working out tremendously well, especially the air conditioning and no bugs. And so we encourage you. It's free. The production is free at the museum, so it's part of the museum program, if you will. And so please, we're wanting everybody to come and meet these women. It's the four, I'm sure you're going to go into this, the four Saturdays in July in the evening at 8 o'clock. And it's just those four performances each Saturday evening. So we're hoping that with your 4th of July celebrations, you'll think about coming to the Trails Museum and to the campus and enjoy that wonderful historic place.
So it'll begin on Saturday the 2nd, which would be the first Saturday in July, and play on each Saturday in July four consecutive weeks.
Correct. The only Saturday not in July is the last one. So there's four performances the first four Saturdays of July.
Yeah, and it'll be at the Trails Museum, which is where, Nancy? It's on Pacific Street.
It's 318 West Pacific Avenue.
about how many blocks south of the square? I'm thinking here.
Two or three. Just look for the big water tower. It's an old, rusty water tower that used to be part of the actual Wagner Mill that sat on the same spot.
Yes.
So it's on the corner of Osage and Pacific. So right across the street from the Bingham Wagner Estate.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty simple to find. I mean, it sounds complicated if you're not used to coming to Independence. You really should come because there are so many wonderful things that have been happening over the last several years, and we're very excited to have this program now to celebrate our history of Independence, because literally without Independence, Missouri, there'd be no Kansas.
Or well, they wouldn't call it Kansas.
No. They
call it something else.
I don't know what they call it, but you wouldn't have gotten there.
So you never know how things would have been different.
Well, like
the names would have been different. The government would have been different.
It's like Independence. It was originally going to be called Big Springs because of all the live active springs that were in Independence. And so, and they're still there. That's what's exciting. Those springs are still there. So
Sir, we're talking with Nancy Effert, the director, two of the performers, Hannah Effert and Stephanie Flanagan, in the production of Frontiers, going on every Saturday in July, at least the first four. I guess there's five Saturdays in July. But not the last one.
No.
So you have the beginning this Saturday, that would be the first one. There are five actresses all together. Three of them are here. There are two others.
Yes. Mary Masterson is our other actress, and Heather Foose. And the four of them play seven characters apiece. I play four. I figured with directing and I'll give myself a break this time. But one of them is a wonderful woman from England that just basically reads letters back to her mother and her adventures going out west. So
yeah.
And these are the ladies that have the more challenging part. They have a lot of monologues and a lot of lines to learn. But I don't know. They've each got their favorite characters as they shared.
And is it hard going from character to character, Stephanie?
It really isn't. It's just you're a different person. Scene, break, go.
Sometimes costume changes help. Do you have some of those?
Costume changes, even if it's just a piece, like instead of a full apron, a half apron, or a day bonnet, you just kind of melt into each character.
Bit of that makes a big difference, I suppose.
It does. It does. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Good actors over the years say, put on just a hat, a shirt. It changes the personality entirely.
It absolutely does.
You are that person. What about Hannah? What about you making the transitions?
It gets to a point where it's second nature. As an actress, this is who you are. You encompass and embody so many different personalities that it is.
In a sense, we are different aspects of ourselves. We have a happy side. We have a sad side.
And I have to say, one of the roles that I play, I am fortunate enough to be able to bring myself into that role. And so it's easy. We don't really think about it. Yeah, it does get difficult, but. Again, we have the air conditioning now, so it'll be okay.
Seven
costume changes later, we will be okay.
Well, if you were really on the trail, you'd have the cross ventilation, but no air conditioning.
Well, we have an imagination for that.
I never felt so loved when I finally said, ladies, I think we want to bring it inside this year. But it really is. And we have wonderful crew persons that help us. We have... three women that help us change our furniture and our set pieces a little bit. And it's just very minimal set, and we also brought on this year because we do have a lot of wigs that we change in and out just to give that flavor of a different person. And we brought a professional hair designer and dresser on this year as well. And so it's kind of like that don't look behind the curtain because, there's a lot of people back there to make this one woman look amazing or these five women look amazing. So, and that was exciting when you were talking about changing the persons and with nothing else with the costuming and little bits of this and that. I think one of our highest accolades last season, one of the curtain calls, and I, as an actress and a director, I generally do not like having to greet your guests in costume. I want to change out, so that you can enjoy the journey you've taken. But because we were outside and our audience was literally inches away from us, then as I was visiting with our guests, and they asked me, are the rest of the actresses going to come out? You've only got five of you here. And I said, this was the cast, and they had a program. And they looked at it again. I said, well, no, there were so many of you. Are the others coming? I go, we're here. And they go, and they literally sat back down in their chairs. And I thought, my goodness, what a great accolade that was to the five of us for the hard work and being able to switch, like you were just talking, that revolving door. You're putting the mind of Greater Tuna where they're off stage and basically back on with somebody else. And I thought that was amazing. That, to me, was one of the highest compliments that we got, that they had no idea that it was just five women portraying all of these other women.
Well, that's a tribute to how well it went.
I think so.
Yeah. You say it was written by four different women?
Yes, and I'm going to be bad because I didn't bring my paper with
the Did all of the women, well, my question was going to be, did all of the authors know each other? Did they work together, or did they work separately?
Yes, they did, and they were all actresses together with working with the... they were performing actresses. And my mentor, Kathleen Gaffney, she actually has done, she did a movie with Tom Selleck one time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she's married to an actor, and she's out of Buffalo, New York. And I just feel really badly, and I apologize if anyone's listening, because I don't have it in front of me. I actually left the paper, and I apologize. So, Kathleen, you'll have to tell the other ladies I'm sorry. So
the production you did in Louisiana,
yes.
Was that the first one of this show?
It was one of the first premieres. The ladies actually wrote it. These are four actresses, and I think they sort of wrote it for themselves a little bit, but it was a labor of love that they did. In Louisiana, it was the premiere, and then when we did it last year, it was the Midwest premiere. And it is available to community theaters, to regional theater, to school groups, and so this is a published piece of literature. So
Frontiers will be presented nightly on Saturdays throughout the month of July, beginning July 2nd, not the last, there's five Saturdays in July, but the first four Saturdays in July at 8 o'clock p.m.
Yes.
At the Frontier Trails Museum in Independence, Missouri on Pacific Street. And it, as we said, just across the street from the Bigham Wagner Estate near where the historic mill is.
Exactly. Actually, the Trails Museum is housed in a portion that still exists of the Gates Wagner Mill. And in their past history, it was huge. It was the Queen of the Pantry flour was milled there, and it was a well-known commodity in every home. And so there was a fire in the mill at one time, but the brick portion is maintained. They now have a wonderful historic campus there. The Chicago Alton Train Depot has been restored, and it's on the campus. And there are other things planned for the future for this area. So I encourage, like I said before, if you have not been to Independence, Missouri recently, I encourage you to go. There are so many wonderful things happening, especially around the historic square. You will find all kinds of wonderful, up-to-date things and a lot of historical people.
Is there a website folks can go to find more information about all of this?
City of Independence. And then go to the National Frontier Trails Museum or to tourism.
At Frontiers, presented the first four Saturday nights in July at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Frontier Trails Museum on Pacific Street. I don't have the exact
318.
Address. Stephanie knows.
318 West Pacific Avenue.
Okay, thank
you. She has a job. It's her only no.
That's what I had to remember.
That's a darn good job.
Thank you.
Did it really well. I want to thank my guest for being with us, Nancy Eppert, the director of the show, giving us some kind of a flavor of the background. Hannah Eppert, who plays, what did you say, five roles?
Seven.
Well, so blonde.
Six with one reoccurring, I suppose.
Okay. And Stephanie, who plays
seven
roles as well in the, I would call it an anthology, because that's how I would
describe
it.
I think that's fair.
The stories of 30 different women along the trails and their experiences. So probably left to us through notes and probably fictionalized.
It was
It
was diaries and journals and other documents that they found for these women. It was a collection of these women's diaries, and I was thinking about the character Tree Woman that Stephanie alluded to, and I'm thinking that is the essence of a lot of women, how they felt connected, and I just love it because each of them take on such a tender mercy. All the actresses, I'm very honored to be working with such talented women.
Go to the City of Independence website for more information on Frontiers and the museum and all the other activities.
Exactly. And just go on their website, hit tourism, and there you go.
I want to thank my guest, Nancy Eppert, the director. Also has some parts in there. Hannah Eppert, actress, seven parts. Stephanie Flanagan, seven parts as well. They're in Frontiers, opening this Saturday night, July 2nd, at the Frontier Trails Museum in Independence. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michael.
For being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Mike is sitting in for the Jazz Insider. Dr. Mike is very laid back. Is this Dr. Mike? Has that changed?
It is me.
It's the boss, very late. I was told Dr. Mike. Barry's not as laid back as Dr. Mike. But he will be here as well to hear some great jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, and a better voice, I hope. I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.